All right, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word and turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. Yes, we're still dealing with the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. This is message number 84. As you may know, and as you might be able to imagine, this is not one of my most popular series. Isn't it amazing? By the way, the subtitle of this message during this 40-day fast is the Daniel Fast Encouragement. We wanted to encourage people by explaining to them, preaching to them, sharing with them what the Daniel Fast is all about from the Word of God, line upon line. Here a little, there a little, the roots of the Daniel Fast. And Daniel probably never thought it would be called in the Daniel Fast and written about in books galore. He would have never called it the Daniel Fast, of course. He was too humble to do that. And this is message 20 in this series. And the subtitle, but message 84 overall. And so we didn't start this until about halfway into the Daniel Fast, when we knew that most people needed some help, some encouragement. But as I was saying, isn't it interesting how that people, just like the Bible predicted, they want preachers who will tickle their ears and tickle their fancy and tell them what they want to hear and not the truth. But there's a problem in the church that nobody is dealing with, and we're laughing ourselves fat as we want to be, obese as we want to be, all the way to heaven. And I am big, pun not intended, I'm big on fun. I'm big on celebrating. But I realize by God speaking to my heart that I celebrate too much. And therefore I eat too much. And therefore I'm committing the sin of gluttony, which no sin is good for you. And all sin has built-in repercussions. And so that's why we're dealing with this. And I'm not going to quit until God tells me to quit. But turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, now called the Tigris River, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Abhaz, as some people pronounce it. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And let me say here again, there are two schools of thought about who this is. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says some Bible students say that the man was the pre-incarnate Christ because of the similarity of the description here to that of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 verses 13 through 16. The response of Daniel and his friends, and then see the fact that this man may be the same as the Son of Man in 7:13 in this book, and the man in 8:16. The other school of thought, on the other hand, is in favor of this messenger being an angel. Is the improbability, of course, in the context of Christ being hindered by a prince or demon of Persia and needing the help of the angel Michael, and the fact that the person is giving a message from heaven. So I thought I would share that with you. It is a conundrum. It is difficult for many people to understand. And so we'll leave that in God's hand. Whatever the case, thanks be to God, Daniel got the message. Verse 7 says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me." When you are confronted by God with a message, and God, you have a connection with God, you will always realize how weak you are. This great vision, "And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." And that's a good praying position. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, are you greatly beloved by God in heaven in a very special way, because you've committed your life to Christ and to the Lord in obedience to him? You trust him, you love him back, you fear him, you reverence him, you respect him, you fast and pray, you obey him, you're faithful to him. God loves you anyway, but God has a special thing going on for those who obey him and sacrifice for him. A man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. My God, my God. Isn't it comforting to know that your prayers are heard on high? So don't worry about it, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, when you started praying and you started fasting, while others may have been celebrating and jam boogieing on because of some good news they heard, you started praying and fasting. Oh, how we need more watchmen and more watchwomen, more seers in the church today, who can look at the people and say, party on, celebrate on, but I'm going to stay in the closet and pray for you so that you can keep that liberty to party on and to celebrate on. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to pray and fast for you so that you can keep that liberty to party on and to celebrate on. Daniel, fear not, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself, that is fasting, you're giving yourself a whipping when you fast in sacrifice to God. If you will, don't write me, you know what I'm saying. Before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. The words you said to God, they were heard, and heaven was moved, and we have come to help you out. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, a demonic force, withstood me 21 days. 21 days won't trying to stop me from getting to you, but lo, Michael, heaven sent me some help. Amen, somebody. Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Some believe that one stayed and fought with the demonic forces while the other one was able to do a little relay, grab hold of what needed to be taken to Daniel and went on in. It's kind of like a police officer calls for help. He screams into the mic, I need some backup. Backup, backup. He's pointing the gun at the perpetrator who's running, and he shouts in his little microphone, his little radio, backup, I need some backup. And when the backup comes, he says, cover for me. You watch him while I go after him and deliver the message that I have for him, if you will. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. This is what God does for prophets like Daniel. While others might be shouting and celebrating, Daniel is burdened about years down the road. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do in our lives. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of your Holy Spirit, and the blessing of your Holy Word. And Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'd crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew, and fill us, Lord, with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And lay upon my heart in a fresh and fresh way all that you'll have me to say. Help me to be as laconic as you want me to be, but to say exactly what needs to be said. I already know that I really can't preach this entire message today, and that some will have to be saved for Monday. Help me to stop when you want me to stop, for already so much has been said that should impact our lives forever from your eternal holy word. And Holy Father God, the devil is fighting against us as always. He never lets up on a preacher who's preaching every day and trying to encourage people to pray every day. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage. Lord, from this place and from your people and from the people who have that issue, set them free from the bondage of Satan. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know the answer is coming, but the devil is trying to hinder it. And so in the meantime, give us continued sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we pray that souls would be saved, lives would be changed, Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan horrified at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. For those of you who are participating on Periscope and Facebook Live, sometimes I forget to put on your mic. If you would just let somebody know that, if I don't have several mics that I have to put on, sometimes I forget to put on the mic going to one or two or three of the streams. If I fail to do that, please do what you do on the screen and let the technician know he's on point, and he will fix it. So please forgive me for that. I know it's hard to hear without that mic on. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry said, if the solemnities of our fasting, though frequent, though long and severe, do not serve to put an edge upon devout affections, to quicken prayer, to increase godly sorrow about your sins and the sins of others, especially your family members, and to alter the temper of our minds and the course of our lives for the better, they do not at all answer the intention, and God will not accept them as performed to Him. So make sure that while you're fasting, your main goal is not to lose weight and to look pretty, but that you're fasting unto God and asking God and praying to God to change the ugliness on the inside, to get rid of the sin in your life on the inside. Because once that is taken care of, you will look better on the outside, physically and otherwise. You will have a glow about you by the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue looking at Daniel's vision, which came to him after a time of prayer and fasting and studying the Holy Scriptures, these verses highlight the spiritual battle that we are party to, whether we want to be or not, if we are children of God, to when we set out to seek a deeper understanding of what God wants for our lives, a deeper relationship, if you will, with God through prayer and fasting. Notice what this heavenly messenger, whom many believe to be Gabriel himself, says to Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself by fasting, that is, before thy God, thy words were heard. Your prayers were heard from the first day. So never hesitate to pray, my dear friends. You may not get an answer tomorrow. You may not get an answer on the same day. But be assured, if you're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are on praying ground yourself, meaning you have confessed your sins and repented of your sins, and you've gotten your heart right with the Lord, then your prayers are being heard instantaneously, even though you may not get an answer for 21 days. By the way, may I encourage you, before you give up on God, at least give Him 21 days to change your world and to rock your world and work a miracle that you thought was impossible. It may take longer than that, but I'm just saying, at least give God 21 days before you stop praying for something. It may take 100 days. You may have to fast every 3 months to get that demon out of your wife, or to get that demon out of your husband, or to get that demon out of your oldest child. Oh yes, I know you don't like to hear it. I know in this day of psychology and psychobabble and counseling, that they have created all kinds of names for it that are not in the Bible. Schizophrenia, and this, that, and the other. Running around, walking around. You didn't come into this world talking to yourself. And now all of a sudden you're talking to yourself. Walking down the street, talking to yourself. There's some demon activity going on in your life, in your child's life, in your wife's life, in your husband's life. Be very careful when folks, you catch people talking to themselves. You may have to pray for 21 days and fast as well to get that demon out of their lives. That's right, I said it. Some of you folks are married to people who have demons. Some of you folks have teenage children. The reason why their faces are always contorted, no matter what you do for them or what is done for them or what privileges they have, is because they're demon possessed. And you need to pray and ask God to cast that demon out. Yeah, I'm talking to you, your and your little Christian family. You got a family member who's not acting like a Christian because he's demon possessed, or she's demon possessed, and they're full of devils and hell. They're never happy about anything. They're constantly seeking what they can tear down, and steal, and lie, and cheat about. And here you are, trying to appease this demon. That's just like treating cancer with an aspirin. You got to have more than that. Give God at least 21 days, and it may take longer than that. Don't be shocked. Don't be taken aback. Demons are still in the world. And somebody is fighting you and your family if you're standing for God and for right. And it's not the president. It's not the Illuminati. They have no power over you if you're in Christ. It's not a secret society that you join and you quit while you were in college. And by the way, more demons are passed through some of these fraternities and sororities than a little bit. That's why you have not recovered from certain things since college. Your mind is at the corporate office. You're in the corporate office, but your mind is still in that dorm room where they did some very terrible things to you. And every time they see you, they have power over you. And they point their finger at you with a little smirk. Remember when now? Remember when? And those demons torment you. Those demons they passed on to you, tormenting you. There are demons running through many fraternities and sororities. I don't give a flip whether you like it or not. That's the truth. Got you saying things and doing things that you ought not to be saying or doing. People steal all inside you that should have never been there. Demons. So you need to pray and at least give God 21 days to get that demon out, to dislodge that demon. Some of your families are being tormented by demons, by devilish Judas people in your family. You don't understand why he or she is not for you. You don't understand why they're not supporting you. You don't understand why they won't even do decent things to help themselves. The devil is a lie, as the old folks used to say. There's a devil loose. And he's got the mind of your wife, and he's got the mind of your husband, he's got the mind of your children. And one of the reasons why is because you won't pray. You go out and pay thousands of dollars to a family counselor, a family psychologist. You bring your demon-possessed child before the pastor, and so forth and so on, over and over again. But you don't pray yourself, and you are engaged in demonic activity yourself. You got a boyfriend. Yet you don't understand why your child is going astray from the word of God that you taught him when he was a child, and you took him to church. Get rid of that boyfriend that you're shacking up with, and find his father. Bo Peep is not his father. Bo Peep can't help him, and Bo Peep does not care for him. In fact, if he gets into Bo Peep's face, Bo Peep might kill him. Go find his father who loves him, that you ran away from him and you played little sick games and ran your husband away from his children, blaming him for nothing, lying on him, using his children against him. And vice versa. You need to stop talking so much and start praying. Stop telling everybody your business and start praying. It may take 30 years. It took my wife 29 years to apologize for her rebelliousness and her stubbornness. And causing havoc for her children. But she did it out of the blue. I know some of you don't like for me to say that, but it's true. And when it takes you 29 years, I'm gonna use it as an illustration. It was too long. But she finally apologized after praying for her all day without ceasing for nearly 30 years, telling her that this is between her and God, never making it personal. But at the same time, I was not going to let her mess up the children's lives with her rebelliousness, her stubbornness, and her foolishness. You better start praying. Stop talking so much and pray. Stop running here and there telling everybody about the problem, and you're not praying about the problem yourself. And then you tell everybody about the problem. Then you say, well, pray for me. No, listen, you need to pray first. And all I'm saying, at least give God 21 days. You may have to give God 21 years. And I know of many folk who will testify that it may take you a while. And God will use that time oftentimes to mold you, break you, and make you into what he wants you to be as well. One radio personality, Chris Kroc, has said repeatedly he believes that God designed marriage to rub folks together in the marriage bond, to rub off the rough edges, to make everybody, to make each other better, and to make the children better than that. I think he might be on to something. But back to the text, my beloved. When Daniel started fasting and praying on day one, God heard his prayer. Amen, somebody. That ought to be encouraging to you. It ought to be of comfort to you. You don't know what in the world is going on. You don't know why there's so much hell coming against you, and all you're doing is praying. Just keep on praying. God hears your prayers. And this is why the old black saints used to say, God may not come when you think he ought to come, but he's always right on time. Allow me to tell you a quick story. Zip Bamboom, one night I was sitting down and working on the computer, and something told me to get up. My two oldest daughters were asleep in the bed. The other children were doing their work, schoolwork, for they were going to stay up that night, the two oldest college students. And something told me to get up. I didn't smell anything. I didn't sense anything. I didn't know anything. I was way up in the front room on the computer. But something, some God told me to get up. And I went to the back, and it was like 11 o'clock at night. And the whole backside of the house was lit up like it was in the morning time, like the sun was shining bright. But it was 11 o'clock at night. I said, why? And then the internet started going out, and I said, why is the internet going out? And why is it so bright outside? Lo and behold, the blaze was doing some damage to this well-built house. And if it was not a well-built house, my children, at least my two oldest daughters, would be dead or badly maimed. And so I woke them up and got everybody out of the house. And we thank God nobody was harmed in any way. We even got the dog out. And even though the fire and the blaze were so bad and so thick, it destroyed the house. And the house had to be demolished and so forth. That's how bad it was. However, we had hundreds of Bibles in the house that we were distributing, and none of them got burned. Important papers and sermons and books got singed. Some still got some black spots on them. We have them to this day. Even pictures survived the fire. We really didn't lose anything worthwhile by the grace of God. So if you want to, and other people have told stories like this before, and it's so true. So let me just tell you, if you want to avoid your fire burning, your house burning all the way down, keep some Bibles in every room, because God will preserve the Word of God. I don't know how He does it, but He did that for us. Be that as it may, my beloved, after the fire, we had to stay in a hotel room for a long period of time. And it was, believe it or not, a glorious time. We rejoiced. My two oldest children would tell you when we had to go out, and even my wife would tell you when we had to go out and deal with issues and try to take care of this, that, and other. I always had them in stitches because I had the joy of the Lord, and we just laughed and praised God and thank God for our lives and so forth. But it came down to the last day. The money was running out, and for the hotel rooms, a rather expensive hotel room. And I told my family to pray more earnestly. And it got down to the last day. We didn't have a place to move to yet. And thank God we saw a beautiful place in a great neighborhood, and we called the people, and zip bam boom, they checked us out and got us into the house immediately on the last day before I would have to move down into the cut, so to speak. That means the lower class hotel down in the cut. That's an old phrase, Negro vernacular. That means down in the hood for our dear white folks. So I didn't want to do that because I have boys and girls, but I have more girls, and I didn't want to move down into the cut. And so God bless us to move into our own place almost the same day, right in the nick of time. And I have thousands of Christian people who will testify that God may not come when you think He ought to come, but He's always right on time. Amen, somebody. Yet Daniel did not receive an answer from heaven until after 21 days. This ought to encourage us as we fast and pray about the sin of gluttony, about being overweight and being a bad testimony before dying in a lost world. God will give us the victory. And I told you, those of us who are gluttons, those who are secret gluttons, those of us who just eat too much because we're just so happy and we're so satisfied and we're so content and we can find a reason to celebrate every day of the year. We love it, but it's packing on the pounds and it's jeopardizing our health and leading us to an early grave. And this is not what God wants. I said it in the beginning and I'll say it again. Diabetes is the church's AIDS. We criticize others about their sins and we name it. And we need to own up to our own sins of gluttony. We thank God for those who are not gluttons and who discipline themselves in the church. But there are too many, and everybody will have to admit it. And I'm hearing more and more preachers preach on it now since I started, and I'm glad about that. But we have to admit there's a problem somewhere. We're eating too many donuts. We're eating too many Happy Meals. We're eating... Now they're trying to make Happy Meals healthy. That's the whole point. Happy Meals are not supposed to be healthy. They're supposed to be for a special occasion. And you just eat what you want to eat. But you can't tell anybody anything. And what I have been telling you, my beloved, is going to take a while. Okay? Don't go out and get yourself cut up. Don't go out and cut your stomach in half and put a rubber band around your stomach because you're a glutton. You're going to eat so much that rubber band is going to burst, and they're going to go in and fix the rubber band, and you're just asking for trouble, people. Don't do that. Don't do that. God did not tell you to do that. God never told any man or woman to go to the doctor to get cut. That's a cheat. You're cheating. It's a shortcut. And you may lose some weight, and it's going to turn into flab, and you can't get rid of that, and that's going to have to be surgically cut off, too. If you do it naturally, it's going to go right on down like it's supposed to. Just take your time. It took you a long time to get to 400 pounds. It's going to take you a long time to get to 200. Just walk it down, baby. Just walk it down. Slow walk that bad boy. Don't be in a rush. God will help you. Don't stand on the scale every day. Just change your diet and stop eating too much, eating so much. And as I said, you can still eat, but we eat the wrong thing. We eat too many pleasant foods. No, eat some cauliflower. What? Eat some broccoli. Do a vegetable medley and put it in the oven. Broccoli and carrots and cauliflower and some okra. How about that? Get your little brag aminos on top of that right there. Some pepper. Hey, and watch this. Get you a sugar-free spaghetti sauce. Toss that bad boy on top of that. You're going to find out that still tastes good because the pasta is not what tastes good. It's the spaghetti sauce with the mushrooms and the garlic and the onions in it that tastes good. Oh, yes. Put it on top of that vegetable medley. You'll have something. Pray and ask God to change your taste buds. He'll do it. He'll help you love those vegetables. I'm starting to love vegetables. I never loved vegetables like I love them now. Oh, where does that come from? God answering my prayers. Because I knew I could not do it alone. So this passage right here ought to encourage us as we pray and fast. Because even though it may seem as though God is not hearing us. Have you ever had that feeling? Rest assured, He is. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you that the truth of the matter is we can deal with every sin and every problem straight from your holy word, from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. And Lord, there's power in your holy word. And we thank you for that power. And Lord, have it to germinate, as one older preacher used to say years ago, in our hearts, our minds, souls, and spirits. Have it to drill a hole deep into our wicked hearts and lay hold of it and change us from the inside out. Crucify our wicked flesh within us and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us to change our minds about our sin called gluttony. Help us to repent, and Lord, help us to change. And Lord, we know that people don't like this series, but that's okay. We need this series. And we need to be made to feel badly about our gluttony and ashamed. And none of us like it, but it needs to be done. And Lord, and I'm preaching to myself as well. And because, Lord, you know how much I love certain things and how much I've enjoyed a great steak down through the years. And in celebration lunches, celebration dinners. And I pray, however, help me to continue to enjoy that, but to enjoy it in a different way, for your glory, praise, and honor, and for testimony's sake. I'm not that concerned about dying, Lord, as you know, but I am concerned about my testimony before dying in lost world, and being able to freely share the gospel and witness without shame. For your glory, praise, and honor, we pray that millions of Christians would confess their sin of gluttony and repent and turn from their evil ways and get on the Daniel fast if they didn't join us this time, and to get them started, to get the ball to rolling, to jumpstart their situation, and then help them to get on the Daniel plan after the Daniel fast. And it will be a change, but they can do it by your grace, by your help, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And speaking of the Daniel plan, let's share some practical information regarding the Daniel fast and how it can help you get over and overcome the sin of gluttony and overeating and eating bad foods for your body. And those of you who have been on this fast at the beginning of this year, you know you feel better. You know you think better. You know you feel more energetic. You can stand on your feet longer. You can exercise better now without getting winded. That's if you've been doing it now. And there's no need to cheat and steal and lie and cover up stuff, because God sees you and you're only hurting yourself. So that's why we've tried to encourage you from the Word of God. So, beloved, this information comes from the Daniel plan. My family and I have read over half of this book together. We may have read more than that, but we didn't read all of the meals back in those days. When I was reading that book, I couldn't stand those little meal plans they had. Oh my soul. I said, nobody's going to do this. And now I'm doing it. And then they would mention hummus. I said, what in the world is hummus? I know that has got to be nasty. I know it's got to be hideous. Hummus made out of some beans that I can't stand. Some garbanzo beans or what. I can't stand those beans. But that's how I learned about hummus. And I remember being in a seminary class, and this huge obese brother, the university trying to help people to understand you need to eat healthier, they didn't provide a whole bunch of junk. They provided one day some carrot sticks, some celery, and some hummus. And man, he went up there. I believe that brother was getting ready to cuss. He said, what is this? And one of the brothers who were more into health had to turn around and say, man, that's hummus. That's good for you. And get you a carrot and get you a celery stick. Now, he was obese, and I love him. He was a good brother, but obese. He had to weigh 500 pounds. He did not get any. He didn't want any. And he huffed and puffed. And the brother said that Rick Warren wrote about this in his book. He said, I don't care about Rick Warren. I don't want that mess. I ain't never had no mess like this before. He was serious. He was upset that they had some hummus, carrot sticks, and celery sticks. Anyway, I would have been upset too if I had not read that book. So let's keep it real. 40 Days to a Healthier Life by Rick Warren, The Daniel Plan. And Daniel Amen and Mark Hyman, these are good folks. I don't know if they are Christians or not, but they are good people. And they're doctors, and they helped Dr. Rick Warren on this. The book guides readers to adapt the Daniel fast and continue it as a lifestyle. The authors go on to say, God uses His Holy Spirit to change us. And my family will tell you that God is changing me through the power of His Holy Spirit. I'm eating now and enjoying now vegetables. Big time. Had a little hummus on my salad last night. I'm learning how to do it. In fact, let me tell you, there are certain vegetable dishes that I am learning to, that really, quite honestly, I enjoy just as much as some of my our meat dishes. I really do. I'm learning. And you say, well, how is that, preacher? It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's not me. Because it was up to me. I was quite pleased with steak and potatoes and steak sauce. For real. The second resource God uses to change us is His Holy Spirit within us. He doesn't just offer advice from the sidelines. When we commit ourselves to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into our lives to empower and direct us. But I want you to notice the phrase that he used here. When we submit ourselves to Christ, when we commit ourselves to Christ, then and only then the Holy Spirit will come and help us. We got people foolishly thinking that the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus are going to just make you do it. Then you are a robot. That's not what's happening here. You've got to choose to submit to Christ. You've got to choose to commit to Him, and then the Holy Spirit will help you do the right thing. I hope you understand this. The Holy Spirit of God gives us His strength to do what is right. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Note that God's goal in all the changes we make is that we become more and more like Christ. God's number one purpose in our lives is to make us like Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. And what is Jesus like? His life on earth embodied the 9 fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And this is a passage that many people need to read on a daily basis. Love, that ought to be in and through and expressed out of your heart in your life to others. Love. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have these fruits now. And some of you know you're not there. Joy. Peace. Some of you are biting your lips right now because you don't have peace. You're worried, you're fretting, you're guilty. You know you're wrong, and so you don't have peace. Patience, you're not patient. And see, this thing here, those of us who are 250 pounds, and you should be 150, those of us who are 300 pounds, and you should be 180, those of us who are 400 pounds, and you should be at least at 200. It took you a while to build this fat up. It's going to take you a while to get it off, and you're going to have to walk that bad boy down. You're going to have to slow walk that bad boy down, and literally walk too. You're going to have to walk. You're going to have to get out of the bed and off that couch and walk. I'm talking about I lift my legs up off the couch and I do exercises like that. Now that's all well and dandy, but you need to get up and you need to walk some miles. Preferably outside, so everybody can see you. But on the treadmill as well. You're going to have patience, my beloved. Stop being in a hurry. Take your time. How about kindness? Some of you who claim to be Christians are mean as the devil. You don't have any kindness. You don't show any kindness. You're selfish and you're stubborn and you're mean as the devil. Goodness. Goodness. Are you good? Are you a wholesome individual? You know if you're not. If you are or if you're not. Are you faithful? Faithfulness is another fruit of the Spirit. Consistent. You will do things faithfully and consistently. You don't quit because you don't like certain things. Gentleness. Do you have the ability to be gentle? With certain people require that. Some don't. You gotta do some tough love on them, but you need to be gentle as God leads you. Do you have the capacity to do that? And self-control. You're going to need a whole lot of that. You're going to have to say no to gluttony. Holy Father God, help your people to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, in this series, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our body weight and our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, and that is our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit and you're not fat, those of you who eat right and you eat little bowls of nuts and raisins and grapes and yogurt and stuff like that, and who exercise regularly, must still address the condition of your soul, because even though going to CrossFit is good, CrossFit will not save your soul. However, going to the cross of Christ will. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. You just need to acknowledge and admit that you are a sinner and that you are on your way to hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell but have everlasting life. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shall be saved from hell and saved to heaven. If you want to be saved today, just pray this simple prayer and ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Ask God to save you because you are believing in your heart in his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you and he will save you today. Follow me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. For the Bible says that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit to you and confess to you that I have lusted, I have lied, and I have stolen in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ today and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is our prayer. Let's all stand.